Well, good morning, everyone. I begin in the task of following the 9.5-fingered man. And also following Imelda Marcos' long-lost adopted son. And for those of you who don't know who Imelda Marcos was and her prowess for having a shoe collection, you can look her up on Google this afternoon and be thinking of Max. Love you, brother. We do want to recognize, as Dad did, that this is Memorial Day weekend. It is a celebration. It is a day set aside tomorrow to honor those who paid the ultimate sacrifice and gave their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy. I'm reminded often whenever I see this bumper sticker, and there's actually a car in the parking lot where I work that says, "Freedom is not free." It was paid for with a price. And tomorrow we get to remember the fallen. And it is good to remember. It is good to have a time of memorial. And we celebrated a time of memorial this morning and were reminded, similarly, our brother John Gorduc reminded us this morning that, again, our spiritual freedom is not free. We were purchased with a price. Our Savior gave his life for ours. He has freed us from sin and freed us to be his bondservants. And what an opportunity it is each Sunday morning to celebrate that memorial and remember his death in our place. So with those thoughts this morning, we will not be looking at a traditional Memorial Day service. We will be continuing our study. But before we do, I'd just like to open us up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be amongst your people. What a blessing it is to be gathered around the name of your Son. What an honor it is to have you in our presence. And we pray that all that we do and say and the meditations of our hearts over this next portion of our day would be honoring and pleasing to you. I pray that you would speak your message through me this morning. And I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I mentioned, we're going to continue our study in our statement of faith, going through and teaching it as an outline and as a series. And over the last 2 weeks, this will be the third week in what I would consider kind of a mini-series of the Holy Spirit's work in the church. Because 2 weeks ago, our brother Johnson had a message on the church, Christ's spiritual body. And as a part of that, he mentioned, I think multiple times, that the Spirit is the one who baptizes the believer into the body, and that is into the universal church. We are all unified in Christ's body through the work of the Spirit and the indwelling of the Spirit. He also separated the topic of the universal body and of the local body, which is the two portions of the church. All believers are part of the universal body. All believers are called to be working through a local body. And we will talk more about that this morning. Last week, Jeremy had the topic of spiritual gifts, the sign gifts or the revelatory gifts. This was the Spirit's work in authenticating the message. He gave apostles, prophets. He gave gifts of miracles, healing, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And without the whole canon of God's word as a foundation, these gifts were used to authenticate the message of the apostles. We believe that those gifts have ceased. But I do agree with Jeremy's statement that it is not that the Holy Spirit no longer has the ability of those gifts, and that if needed, he could still certainly produce in a believer any one of those things to authenticate the message. They're just not required now that we have the whole canon of God's word that we can look to, and we have the message. This week, we will continue our study, and we will continue with the topic of spiritual gifts, but we will be looking at the permanent, the continuous, the non-revelatory gifts, those that are given to the body. This is the Spirit's work to build up the body through each believer, and we're going to be looking at that this morning. And so as I started thinking about this topic, maybe as many of you, when you think of spiritual gifts, I always start by just thinking of questions. Spiritual gifts, what are they? Are they the same as the fruit of the Spirit? Do I have a gift? And if I do, what is it? How do I use it? And maybe one that I thought of somewhat often as I was studying, why didn't God just give every believer all of the gifts in full amount? Why didn't he give us the ability to perform all of the necessary things that the body needs? These are all things that we'll hopefully be able to see in Scripture, see the answers to these things this morning. You do need to turn it on for it to work, though. Maybe when you think of the topic of spiritual gifts, it kind of seems like a jumbled up list of things throughout Scripture. And there are multiple passages, and not any one of them has everything that is up on the slide right now. And so maybe it seems confusing. What is a gift? Where are the gifts? How do I go and understand what they are? And this list includes the sign gifts that Jeremy spoke on last week, the gifts of tongues, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of the apostles or apostleship. And so I'm going to reduce the list by removing those because those are not the ones we're going to focus on today, but yet it still is a daunting list. And I've left the gift of prophecy here, even though it is a sign gift. There is no longer any additional revelation that is being given, but we'll talk about the prophecy that is still given through the church today. There are also, I don't believe that this necessarily constitutes the entire set of the spiritual gifts that are given to the church. There are others that even within Scripture, hospitality, prayer, celibacy, that some consider to be spiritual gifts, and there's debate on those things. But I think trying to nail down specifically each of these gifts and exactly what they are kind of misses the point, and we'll get to that this morning. We're going to look at four passages, and this is why I didn't have a specific scripture reading this morning, because we're going to go through four different passages. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. And if you have something that you can keep in your Bible to keep flipping back and forth to those passages, pull it out. Because we're not going to necessarily go through them sequentially. We will at the beginning to talk about the gifts, but then we will be jumping around between these passages. So what I'd like to do first is just go through these passages and give a brief call out of the gifts that are in them and a brief definition. But this will not be where we spend the majority of our time. So if you would, please turn with me to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 3 down through verse 10. Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 3, reading down through verse 10. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And so if we focus back then in this passage, mainly between verses 6 through 8, we have the list of gifts that's up on the slide in front of you. Starting with exhortation. These are not in the order in which they're in the scripture, but they're in the alphabetical order. Had to pick some order. Exhortation. The gift to implore or to urge one on. Call others to obedience through encouragement or through correction. The gift of exhortation seeks to point all towards obedience. Giving. This one in this translation was the ones who contribute. But the gift of giving, sacrificial, purposeful, financial giving to meet the needs of others. Those who are spiritually indwelled or enabled to be givers. Leadership. This one is closely related to administration, but leadership is to stand in front of. That's the literal translation of that word, to provide governance, direction, or oversight. That is the one who leads. Mercy, showing sympathy, sensitivity, and empathy for those who are suffering or sorrowful, working to meet their needs. This is the gift of mercy. Prophecy. Again, we're not talking about the revelatory gift, the one who is foretelling God's word, but this is forthtelling God's word, proclaiming, preaching, speaking the truth of God's word to convict, encourage, and strengthen the believer. Those committed to teaching the truth, prophecy. Service, diakonos. If you recognize that word, it's the same word that is translated deacon, and that's the role in the New Testament church. But the gift is service, ministering to the needs of others in the body, willing to take on tasks in order to free up others for ministry. The servant. Teaching. Interpreting and accurately communicating God's word to others. Helping others understand the scripture. Administration. Actually, we're going to move now. Get to that. You don't have administration in this passage. We need to go over to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. And then we'll skip down to verses 27 through 31. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Moving down to verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. So we have several additional gifts here. Administration, again, closely related to leadership, but this is organization. They serve through the work of seeing that things run smoothly. The word administration here is closely tied to the work of the helmsman on a ship, one who is negotiating it, making sure that it goes along smoothly. Discernment. Here it was distinguishing between spirits. But discernment is the ability to recognize false spirits and false teaching and to protect the body from deception. We need to be discerning of what the truth is. Faith. This is not a saving faith. Saving faith is provided to every believer. The spiritual gift of faith is a persistent pursuit of God through prayer and intercession, strong trust, belief, and expectation in the most difficult of circumstances. The gift of faith. The gift of helps. Again, closely related to service, but the gift of helps is the gift of ministry, supporting. The helper is desire to give help no matter what the need is. Knowledge. Now we have these two, the utterance of knowledge and the utterance of wisdom. I think the utterance of knowledge is similar to prophecy. And it has to do with the revelation of God's word. It's grasping and understanding the meaning of truth as revealed by God. Once again, this does not indicate that there is additional revealing, but gaining a good, clear understanding of the truth that is revealed in God's word already. The gift of wisdom emphasizes practical conviction and conduct based on the understanding of God's word. Again, in both of these cases, the utterance of knowledge and the utterance of wisdom speak to the fact that these gifts are used in bringing it forth and sharing it by speaking it to one another. I'd like to switch over now to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 4 through 7. And then we'll read from 11 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Continuing at verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. I would say the shepherds and teachers. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by humane cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, Jeremy went through this passage last week and had the gifts here related to the offices that these gifts supply. So in verse 11, there are apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherd teachers. And once again, the first two, the apostles and the prophets, as far as an office, ceased with the apostolic age. But the evangelism and the gifts of shepherding and teaching still go on in the church today. And evangelism is gifted in sharing the gospel with the lost. They have a burden for the lost and their need for the gospel. And the shepherd, also described as pastor in many places, is an overseer, a leader, an elder. It's the role. But these are also folks that are concerned with guarding and caring for others. Having a shepherding gift does not always equate to being a shepherd or an elder or a pastor in the church as far as a leadership role, but those who have this gift have a deep concern for the well-being of people around them. And there are several of these gifts that we would look at and say, well, the whole body is called to these things. We're called to be giving. We're called to be serving. We're called to have faith. We're called to be discerning. We're called to share the gospel or to be evangelists. And we're called to have a care for one another. And this is all true. But those who have these gifts in the body lead the way. The evangelist gift is the one with such a burden and such an ability as to lead the way, to give the example, to encourage others to follow in our universal calling to spread the gospel. The same with someone of spiritually enabled faith. How we see the gifted one of faith go through trial or expect God's working in all situations should spur those of us not necessarily as gifted in that manner in our own faith. It should be an encouragement to us. And we go on. The final passage then is 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I just like to read verses 7 through 11 here. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, this one doesn't necessarily go through the lists of the gifts, but I think that it segments the other lists into two types. Those that are speaking-oriented gifts, those that are serving-oriented gifts. If you are one related to speaking, teaching, prophecy, knowledge, wisdom. Whenever we are speaking, we are to speak as though it is the oracles of God. Jeremy talked last week of those speaking in tongues or speaking prophetically and being okay with whether it was 50% accurate. That's not what this passage says. We speak as with the oracles of God. We stand on the word's authority and by God's grace, endeavor not to step outside of what is truth. And in our service, whatever that service is, not just the servant gift, but in helps, in mercy, in faith, in giving, in any of the other serving gifts, we serve as unto the Lord. And so these are the gifts. And again, I have not gone through them in tremendous detail, and that was not the intention for this morning. But I will tell you that I've created the I saw some of you taking notes. I should have told you in advance. There is a sheet that has each of those gifts on it up front here. It has the passage it was from, other passages where that gift is used, and the brief definition that I gave this morning. So you are welcome to pick up one of those on your way out this morning. What I would like to do with our remaining time is continue through these passages by looking at four things. That is, the work of the Godhead through these gifts. Second, the differences in the distribution of these gifts between believers. Third, God's purpose in his distribution of these gifts and his intention for how they are to be used in the body. And finally, our responsibility for using the specific gifts given to us. And again, so you're aware, and I won't wait till afterwards to tell you this, but there is a second sheet up here that has the four passages color-coded to which of the four sections that they're going to apply to. So if you are taking notes, feel free to pick those up afterwards as well, and there is a key to the color code on the back of it for you. We may see a miracle if we get through all of that in the time we have remaining. But let's look at the roles of the Godhead in the gift. And we're going to go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to focus to start with here in verses 4 through 6. I'm sorry. I meant 1 Corinthians 12, not Romans 12. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 12, but again, we will be focusing on verses 4 through 6. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. These are spiritual gifts. They are not talents. There are many talented people in the world who don't know the Lord. There are many talented believers that have talents that assist in their work, but are not necessarily these gifts. Spiritual gifts are supernatural gifts provided by the Lord. They are Spirit-enabled gifts. Traits that can only be attributed to a believer because the believer gets them through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. A variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. We each have been indwelt by the same Spirit. And that Spirit is who has given us these gifts. A varieties of service. And your translation may, instead of the word service, put ministries there. A variety of ministries, but the same Lord. Matthew 20 and verse 28 says, "Our Lord came not to be served, but to serve." And the spiritual gifts that we are given to us to equip us for service or for ministry by following his example. We have the same Lord. There is only one Lord. There is only one Savior. There is only one who came and provided the example of service. And it's his example we should follow. There are a variety of activities, or your translation may say efforts. The word is energema, effective working ministry. And the other word here is that the same God empowers. The word activity, as I mentioned, is energema. The word empowers is energio. And if you've noticed the same root, energy, energizing our individual work. It is God's calling. It is God's will. It is God's purpose. It is God's empowering that energizes our ministries and our gifts. And the last portion of verse 11 says, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This is that we are empowered by one and the same Spirit. We see the Godhead here working within these gifts. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, and those initial verses 4 through 7, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But the grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. We are unified. We are one body, all members of the universal body, the same body. And we are unified by one Spirit. I mentioned before, we have all been given one Spirit, one Holy Spirit. The same Spirit indwells each and every one of us. We have one Lord. Through a single saving faith and ongoing trust, we have one Savior and Lord. We are identified with Him through the believer's baptism, that is an immersion by water. And we have one God and Father of all. God is the Father of all through creation, but He is the Father of His spiritual family through election and the salvation plan that He instituted. And it goes on to say that He is over all and through all and in all. And I think that we could place that as He is sovereign, He is omnipotent, and He is omnipresent. All attributes of the Godhead. But if you look at it and say He is overall, that is the Father is the one who drives, whose will drives it all. He is through all, that is the Son accomplished God's will through His work on the cross. And He is in all, that is the Spirit indwells every believer. All gifts have been given, established, and empowered by the unifying work of the three persons of the Godhead. And they are done by giving the purpose of unifying the body. But all the gifts are not the same. So how do they differ? First Corinthians 12. That word, varieties, that we looked at. Varieties of gifts, varieties of service, varieties of activities. Varieties means apportionments or allotments or distributions. Not only are there different gifts, a variety of gifts, but they differ in the number that are given to the believer, the combination that is given to any specific believer, and the portions of gifts are varied for every individual believer. There is a variety of the gifts that are given. There's a variety of service or ministry. Each of us is specifically equipped for ministry, not generally to serve, but to serve specifically based on the proportion gifts that we have been given. We know that the office of elder must be equipped with the gift of shepherding and teaching. But even having these gifts, ministries are different. My ministry is different than Jeremy and Johnson's. And our ministry is different than the same role within another body. Beyond that, we have others here who use the gift of teaching, who are not called to be a part of the role of leadership. Each one's ministry is specific, but that doesn't mean it isn't coordinated under the authority of the leadership of a ministry, or of the leadership of the local body, or under the Lord's headship. We cannot just justify that we want to go off and do our own thing because it's the ministry we've been called to. There is also a variety of activities or effects, energy or energized. There are different approaches, different personalities, different energy levels between people with the same gifts. There are some with the gift of service who would make your head spin to hear of their activities or to see them at work, while others serve in meticulous ways in the background that would drive a type A personality crazy. These two, while having the same gift, have been given different activities, have been given different energies, and proportion and specifically given to each one of them to fulfill their specific ministry. A simple illustration. An article published some years ago in the Springfield, Oregon Public School Newsletter made this very point. It is said that once upon a time, the animals decided that they should do something meaningful to meet the problems of the new world. So they organized a school. They adopted an activity curriculum of running, climbing, swimming, and flying. To make it easier to administer the curriculum, all the animals took all the subjects. The duck was excellent in swimming, in fact, better than his instructor. But he made only passing grades in flying and was very poor in running. Since he was slow in running, he had to drop swimming and stay after school to practice running. This caused the webbed feet to be badly worn so that he was only average in swimming, but average was quite acceptable so nobody worried about it except the duck. The rabbit started at the top of the class in running, but developed a nervous twitch in his leg muscles because of so much makeup work and swimming. The squirrel was excellent in climbing, but encountered constant frustration in flying class. The reason was the teacher made him start from the ground up instead of from the treetop down. He developed Charlie horses from overexertion and got a C in climbing and a D in running. The eagle was a problem child and was severely disciplined for being a nonconformist. In climbing class, he beat all of the others to the top of the tree, but insisted on using his own way to get there. Now, obviously, the moral of the story is simple. Every creature has its own capabilities that it has. When it uses correctly, it will succeed. Unless it is expected or forced or decides on its own to fulfill a mold that it just doesn't fit. The result of this is frustration and discouragement and even guilt. And they produce an overall mediocrity and ultimate defeat. A duck is only a duck. It is built to swim, not to run or fly, and certainly not to climb. And we could go through the same list with each of the animals. Don't misunderstand the illustration. in it, it is not saying that a teacher will never have another gift of giving or evangelism or faith. But what it is saying is that ministering in an area that is not in line with our gifting, service, or activity will be discouraging, an unprofitable exercise, and it will leave the ministry we are called to fulfill neglected or underserved. I can see you're all thinking, how do I know my gifts? I'm trying to get there. What is God's purpose for providing diverse gifts? We'll stay in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Romans 12:3b says, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And Romans 12:6a says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. First, it's God's purpose. It's him who wills. And it's through his grace and faith that he assigns each gifts personally to each believer. He had you in mind when he established your gifting. We cannot cultivate a gift that we don't have through any amount of effort, practice, or our own will. It is God who gives the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25. That there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. The second part of Ephesians 15 and the second part of Ephesians 4:16. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Ephesians 4:12 and 13. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God's purpose is to unify the body, to cause it to grow, and to build one another up, to spur on towards maturity out of a pure love for one another. We all need to work, and further, we need what the others have been gifted by our Lord. Why didn't God equip all the believers with all of the gifts? Because he wanted to display his attributes to us through us. We are not only dependent on God, we are dependent on our fellow believers. We must act as his hands and feet. So what is the ultimate purpose? The middle portion of verse 1 Peter 4:11. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. When the body is functioning correctly, it is rightfully God who receives all the glory. So then, what is our responsibility for utilizing the specific gift or gifts that have been given to us? 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. That word earnestly means without ceasing, fervently. We are to keep loving one another earnestly. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. This is not to say only those with the gift of service serve others. We are to be good stewards of the grace that has been given to us. Ones to whom the Master has given us the responsibility to be the caretakers of his variety of gifts. They are not ours, but they are on loan to us, and we will be called to give an account. 1 Corinthians 12:31, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. And while we didn't read this previously, if we skip over 1 Corinthians 13, which we know to be the chapter related to God's love, chapter 14 and verse 1 says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. This pursue is to run swiftly, to run after, to run in order to catch. We are to be in earnest pursuit of love and of our gifting. Romans 12, 6 through 8 includes a call next to each one of the gifts that's listed there. Prophesy in a proportion to our faith. Service in our serving. Serve, if you have the gift of service, serve others. Teachers in our teaching. We are to be teaching as teachers. Exhorts in his exhortation. Those with exhortation should be encouraging or, if needed, correcting in order to impress upon others the need to strive for obedience. Contributes generously. The giver ought to give liberally as led by the Spirit, but do so in a way cheerfully and generously. Leaders with zeal. Leaders are to be earnestly, diligently, and with haste leading in the body. Mercy with cheerfulness. Not only supplying those hurting or in need, but doing so with a cheerful attitude. Finally, Romans 12, 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Love, love, love. It was in all of these passages. Earnestly desire to serve by using our gifts. Outdo one another in performing our service and in honoring each other. And in doing so, glorify God. So what is our gift? The big question, right? Spiritual gifts. Which one or ones do I have? I thought it was interesting that this passage was read in the morning, in the breaking of bread meeting this morning. But I'm going to take you back to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3 because I think this defines both the attitude and the approach that we need to have when seeking to understand our spiritual gifts. And I don't believe that is mistakenly placed in context directly before the spiritual gifts are described in Romans 12. Romans 12:1, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned to you. Attitude and approach. Our approach, as laid out in verse 1 and in verse 2, is that we need to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We need to be God's and God's alone. We need to give ourselves wholly to Him. It continues by saying that this is our living sacrifice, holy, separating ourselves unto God, presenting our bodies to Him, acceptable. What is it in our lives that is holding us back from giving everything to the Lord? Because without doing that, we can't get to the point of not being conformed to this world, not being completely transformed in our mind. Without a completely transformed mind, it will become hard to discern what is the will of God, what is our gifting. And then what is our attitude? We need to not think too highly of ourselves. We need to be humble in whatever our gifting is. I'd like to quickly just read, because I thought this was excellent. John MacArthur gave a How Do I Know My Gift? And he listed 9 steps. And I'll give you each of the 9. But I think more importantly was his summary of the search or the effort to identify our gifts. He said, how do I know my gift? 1, present yourself a living sacrifice. First step, cannot fully discern without doing this step. 2, know that you are gifted. Every believer is. Pray for wisdom. He called out James 4. You do not have because you do not ask, but don't ask selfishly. 4, seek nothing. Don't pursue out of a desire for a specific gift, but pursue understanding of God's will. 5, examine your heart desires. What is it that you desire to do? 6, seek confirmation. Don't force the issue if everyone is telling you it is not your gift. 7, look for and recognize God's blessing. 8, serve with your whole heart. You will never know the fullness of your gift unless you are committed to its total use. 9, when you think you begin to see what it is, go for it. Cultivate the gift as it begins to be obvious to you. His conclusion, when you've done all of that, you will probably find it impossible to label your gift. I've been at this a long time, and you ask me what my gift is, and I couldn't tell you. All I could say is that I do what I do. Sometimes I preach, teach, exhort, unfold the wisdom of the Bible, put that all together, and my gift is called John MacArthur. and that's all I know. I know other people who preach and teach and exhort, but it doesn't come out like mine comes out. The only issues that matter after going through these 9 steps is that you'll be at it. I know generally where my gifting lies, but could not cut and dry in a manner say that these 4 people over here have the gift of mercy, and those 3 people in the back have the gift of administration. Dominant areas that are blended with other areas make us each individually who we are. And when you go through the whole checklist, you'll come out at the end and may find you have a difficult time with a clear definition of what it is because it is so blended together wonderfully in you. It will be hard to divorce from your own identity. Here's the flip side of knowing that God has specifically gifted each one of us with a specific ministry. He has given no one the exact same gift as he has given you and me. And he has given no one else the exact same ministry that he has given you and me. If we do not use our gift, no one else will. If we do not fulfill our ministry, it will not be fulfilled. God's spiritual gift to the body that gathers here at Grace Gospel Chapel in Plumsteadville is you and me. God could have chosen to provide all of the benefits associated with every gift to every believer. But he chose to give them individually and gather those individuals into a local body. We are indwelled with his Spirit, who is fully God, co-equal, consubstantial, and co-eternal. His true gift to us is that we experience both ministering as a steward of his gifts to our fellow brothers and sisters, and we get to experience being ministered to. It is by his grace that he grants us the opportunity to work on both on his behalf to show and receive his love through one another. We've mentioned several times in the last several weeks that we will miss Dottie's encouragement. We will also miss many who have gone in the last couple of years. We will miss Ida. We will miss Marty. We will miss Shirley, Stratton, Sarah Landis, Annie Grace. Not just because of who they were, but because of the gifts that they provided to the body. It should challenge all of us. Me included. We need to commit ourselves fully to being the perfect living example of our Lord to one another through the gifts, the ministries, and the energy that he has provided to us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thing it is to look into your word. But it is also convicting and challenging, Lord. You have provided not only so much for us individually through a salvation that we neither deserved or desired, but you have provided for us as a body as well. I pray that we might each seek to effectively live for you by fulfilling our ministry, by using the gifts and the energy that you supply. Help us not to seek to get ahead of you. Help us not to seek to fill in gaps where we are not gifted. Help us all to see your vision for a body that is building itself up and a pure testimony for you in this place. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.